a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Global Business on CGTN. I'm Guan Xing. The headlines we're tracking at this hour. Stable course. China keeps loan prime rates for the current month unchanged, reflecting the country's commitment to stability in financial policy. Gaining momentum, the commercial space industry in China is experiencing significant growth with increasing investments, resuming on the fledgling industry. In rate talks, the U.S. Federal Reserve has commenced 2 days of discussions with a focus on maintaining current interest rates and deliberations regarding potential future adjustments. Chinese President Xi Jinping has stressed the vital importance of food security in spring plowing and called for protecting farmers' interests. President Xi, also General Secretary of the CPC Central Committee, made the appeal on Tuesday during his inspection of Changde in central China's Hunan province. On Monday, Xi Jinping visited Hunan's provincial capital Changsha, and Gao Yuming has more.
In Changde, President Xi said sound spring farming and its preparation work are crucial to ensuring grain harvest and food security. He called for all regions and departments to ensure adequate spring sowing area, refine field management, and ensure sufficient agricultural supplies. The Chinese president also said efforts should be made to deepen the integration of high-quality seeds, farming methods, farming machinery, and farmland. Xi Jinping also learned about the restoration of historical and cultural neighborhoods, local urban water environment management, and improving grassroots governance efficiency. In Changsha, President Xi visited a campus of Hunan First Normal University and a battery materials joint venture. He learned about the university's efforts in putting resources related to the party's heritage to great use and local endeavors to further high-standard opening up.
Staying with agriculture, more than 2,000 attendees from China and abroad have gathered in Sanya, Hainan for the 2024 China Seed Congress. The four-day gathering, which ends today, serves as a platform for agriculture professionals and companies to delve into discussions on China's seed industry and the progress of Sanya's agricultural research base. Over the first 3 days, 15 reports were presented addressing a wide array of agricultural topics. Alongside the Congress, an indoor exhibition showcased the latest advancements from China's leading agricultural enterprises and promoted the city's status as a hub for science and technology. Industry experts attending the event have lauded China's agricultural innovations.
Biological breeding is a new technology. Chinese sci-tech innovation is the core of a new quality productive forces. The Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences has built a smart breeding platform here in Hainan, which has been used by many seed breeding companies. I think it is a reflection of a new quality productive forces.
I think China is a very important player in the seed industry globally. In the Asia-Pacific region, it's the leading exporter of vegetable seeds and also many field crop seeds. In the seed industry, knowledge and innovation really is what spells the difference between success and failure. So I think continued delivery of innovation is important, and having a hub for that, a space for that here in Hainan is very important.
Sanya, located in China's southernmost island of Hainan, boasts ideal breeding conditions for multiple crops thanks to its warm weather and long daylight period. Annually, from October to April, hundreds of scientists and experts from across the country convene in Sanya to conduct breeding research, addressing critical agricultural technologies essential for ensuring food security for China's 1.4 billion population. Soybean breeding is one of the prominent areas of research due to China's substantial reliance on imports. Lin Wo has more.
At the soybean seed breeding base in Sanya, soybeans planted in 5 or so hectares of test plots ushered in a harvest season. Soybean is a typical self-pollinating crop. It may take 10 years or longer from parent selection to variety selection. The excellent climate in Sanya can shorten the breeding cycle to 5 to 7 years. Data shows that more than 20,000 new varieties of staple crops have been bred in Nanfan, accounting for more than 70% of the new varieties bred in a country.
Because of Hainan's unique climate, the growth cycle of soybeans can be greatly shortened, with the fattest achieving 4 to 5 generations in a year.
Since September 2023, the Danfan base has sped up scientific and technological innovation and established an industrial innovation platform. The development of the seed industry has been greatly improved through smart supervision and a seed industry CRO research and development outsourcing services for the whole breeding process.
Smart agriculture has been applied to monitor insect conditions, soil quality, water quality and climate of the base. We also introduced a CRO service spanning lab work to field management.
Hainan is endowed with a unique climate, marine resources, advantageous geography and ecological environment. Nanfan is giving full play to the climate advantage. On January 31st, the construction plan for building a national Nanfan Silicon Valley was released in Sanya. According to the plan, the Nanfan breeding base is set to become a national seed industry innovation base by 2025 and then aims to evolve into the Silicon Valley of China's seed industry by 2030. Integrating scientific research, production, sales, scientific and technological exchanges, and the transformation of research results that serves the whole country. In the future, the Nanfan base will continue to infuse Hainan strength into the development of China's seed industry, fostering new quality productive forces to become one of the prominent features of the Hainan Free Trade Port. Lin Wo, Sansha Satellite TV in Hainan for CGTN.
China's loan prime rates, or LPR, have remained unchanged this month. The one-year rate, a market-based benchmark lending rate, remained at 3.45%. The over five-year LPR, on which many lenders base their mortgage rates, also remained unchanged from the previous reading of 3.95%. The move is in line with market expectations. China lowered the over five-year rate by 25 basis points last month to shore up the credit and property markets. During December, China's prominent state-owned commercial banks announced a third reduction in deposit rates within a year. The three-year deposit rate at these banks was uniformly decreased by 25 basis points to 2.35%. Subsequently, many smaller banks have also followed suit over the past 2 months. Our NGE has more.
In the first 2 months of the year, many smaller commercial banks also nudged their deposit rate lower, following the cuts by major state-owned banks. Now it's difficult to find a bank offering a deposit rate with an annual percentage yield over 3%. With deposit rates coming down, investors may look to other higher-yield products, which experts say comes with its own challenges.
I have bought some wealth management products and made stock investments.
The return of a certificate of deposit is not that good. Now I have turned to funds and gold products.
Previously, people used to open a fixed-term deposit account at banks. They only need to care about the yields. But in a low interest rate environment, they are likely to seek other assets with higher yields. So now individual investors need to know whether the thing they are going to invest in is a riskier asset or not in different financial environment. They also need to pay attention to the risk they may face if investing in different kinds of assets. It has become the biggest challenge for individual investors over the past decade from my perspective.
While rate cuts may make it more complicated for investors, they also make it cheaper for those taking out loans or refinancing their mortgages, and the companies planning to raise capital. A nascent recovery in financing demand has already been seen, with the PBOC reporting that China's new yuan loans in the first 2 months of the year came in at 6.37 trillion yuan, hitting the second highest level during the same period. The increment in total financing to the real economy during the 2 months also reached 8 trillion yuan.
Let's say the last time the interest rate is about 8%, now let's say it's 6%, so the companies will get the financing cost much cheaper than the last time. Another strategy is some companies will longer the tenor of their earlier loans, or even get the loans to do the new investment.
And the further rate cuts could be expected this year. Earlier this month, the PBOC said that it would maintain a supportive stance on monetary easing, suggesting more moves could be made to bolster the economy. Ying Junyi, ICS for CGTN, Shanghai.
And now for more discussions on recent monetary policy announcements made by China's central bank, I want to bring in Hong Hao, chief economist of Grow Investment Group. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Hong. So how do you assess the potential for further rate cuts in the future, given that China's LPR remained unchanged this month, but the PBOC governor's commitment to maintain a supportive stance on monetary easing during the two sessions?
Thanks for having me. I think inflation, especially the CPI level in China, is still quite low. So the room for further stimulating the economy using monetary easing is still right there. And also in the first 2 months of the year, I think loan growth is healthy, but it's not that strong. It's because the seasonality, right? So during the Chinese Spring Festival, I think most families choose to go out instead of, you know, go to buy a house. So I think as we move into March, traditionally it's a high season for loan demand. Then, you know, we should see loan demand pick up from there. So at this juncture, you know, because we have lower LPR last year, and also because the market interest rate is still relatively low, so it remains to be seen. I think the PBOC is on hold, you know, just to see the former monetary easing's effect on the Chinese economy, and then to plot the next move. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that, you know, going into the second half of the year, the LPR and other interest rate level would be a step lower from here.
And in light of recent changes in other central banks, what impact could Japan's rate hike and the Fed's March meeting have on China's rate decision?
Yeah, I think the especially today, we're probably going to see the FOMC rate decision. I think at this juncture, it's more likely than not the FOMC is going to hold its interest rate steady, and probably with a view to cut its interest rate in the second half of the year. And once it does that, it will open up the room for further monetary easing for the PBOC. You know, because at this point in time, we don't want to weaken the Chinese currency substantially because of the rate differential between the U.S. Benchmark interest rate and the Chinese interest rate is still quite large. Right? So if we ease without the Fed cutting the rates, then it will put pressure on our currencies. So I think in the second half of the year, I think once the Fed starts to cut rates, then, you know, the room for further monetary easing is open.
And let's zoom in on the investment markets. What strategies should investors employ, especially in China, to adapt to the changes in interest rates this year?
Yeah, I think surprisingly, the long rates are still making new lows by historic standard. I think, you know, people who have been holding on to their longer-term Chinese treasury bond has been doing quite well. And also at the same time, you know, even though people are reaping good benefits, good returns from the treasury market, the Chinese stocks are rebounding from the low it actually reached just before the Chinese Spring Festival. So I think if you look at the smaller cap names, it actually bounced more than 20% in a matter of less than months. So it's one of the strongest rebound we had in history. So I think people should, you know, at the same time holding on to their treasury portfolio, at the same time, I think people should remain their risk exposure to the Chinese stocks, you know, because these stocks are cheap, the economy is improving on the margin, and there's room for further monetary easing in the second half of the year.
As we talked about the economy, we're seeing some positive signs in the first quarter. What is your evaluation of the overall economic trajectory, and do you believe that recent data cuts, rate cuts, have had trickle down the economy?
Yeah, I think industrial output has been far exceeding expectation. I think FAI, fixed income investment, is also above expectation, you know, because investment in the manufacturing sector is holding up quite well. It's actually more than offsetting the downfall in the property sector. In my view, further money investing in the property sector is probably, trying to ensure new home building delivery, for former customers who has already placed down payment for those buildings. And the new investments should be going into more high value-added industries, right? So to build up on the economic strengths. So, as a result, we're seeing a picture of above expectation FAI, above expectation IP, and also consumption is well in line with expectation as well. So hopefully this momentum could continue into the second quarter and also in the second half of the year.
Well, thank you very much for your analysis. We really appreciate your time. That was Hong Hao, Chief Economist of Grow Investment Group in Hong Kong for us. We're now heading for a short break. Still to come on Global Business. Gaining momentum, the commercial space industry in China is experiencing significant growth with increasing investment. We're zooming on the fledgling industry.
You respond to global challenges. And recognizing our shared destiny, we must promote peace, development, and cooperation. Addressing common challenges and fulfilling our shared responsibilities, join us at the Boao Forum for Asia India Conference 2024.
China has just launched a new relay satellite into lunar orbit. The Quechao 2 lifted off from a Long March 8 carrier rocket at Wenchang Space Launch Center in South China's Hainan Province early Wednesday morning. The satellite is primarily tasked with relaying signals and data to the Chang'e 6 robotic mission, which is scheduled to be launched before July. After its arrival in the predetermined orbital position, the Quechao 2 will conduct two-way communication tests with the Chang'e 4 probe. The Chang'e 4 is known for its successful soft landing on the far side of the moon in January 2019, a world's first. Recent data underscores increasing potential of commercial aerospace activities in China. Last year, China conducted 67 orbital launches with nearly 40% dedicated to commercial purposes, according to the China Aerospace Science and Technology Corporation. Additionally, the private sector has invested 6 billion yuan. That was approximately $830 million in the market, with significant developments such as the delivery of the primary launch pad at China's inaugural commercial spacecraft launch site in Hainan by the end of last year. Projections from science research agency Taibo suggest that the entire commercial aerospace market in China could experience accelerated expansion, potentially reaching a market value of 2.8 trillion yuan by 2025. To understand more about the global competitiveness of China's commercial space industry, we're joined by Huo Liang, CEO of Deep Blue Aerospace, a private space launch service provider and also one of the trailblazers in the development of reusable rockets in China. Thank you so much for coming to the studio, Mr. Huo. So could you start to give us a brief overview of the potential and development trends of commercial space industry in China and at a global scale as well?
Frankly speaking, in global scale, the commercial space area is an emerging scale that we have never seen before. In the global scale, they are about to raise in about 2000, and encountered about 20 years development, and we call it a golden age of this area. But in China, this area raises about several years ago, and several young companies are just raising from brand new enterprises.
So what are the key technology breakthroughs have your company achieved, and why are they important for the business?
We all know that technological and science innovation is a key factor in the commercial rocket area. The basic rule is for realizing the step stability as well as low cost is very important in this area.
Yes.
We have realized significant developments in the VTVL test ranging from meter level to 1,000 level, and we have completed over 100 times ignition test of our engine. All these tests have proved the stability of our launching vehicles. So in the way to realize the reuse and stability of the new launching vehicle, we have reached and realized several significant technological achievements.
Mm-hmm. How would you rate the international competitiveness of China's commercial space industry?
In the competitiveness of the commercial space industry, the China industry is in a rapid growth path. It has been written on the work of the China government report, and the commercial and the whole society is putting more and more emphasis in this area. We have seen the rapid growth in the China in the Chinese markets and the Chinese enterprise in this area, and a lot of people and capitals are joining this area. So we can see this in the future. China will be the main players in this field internationally.
Mm. Could you share with us your priorities for the future or China's space industry?
Our priority is developing reusable liquid rockets to promote the capabilities of entering the outer space,
mm-hmm.
As well as reducing the cost to reach the orbit. And in within our country, in China, the whole commercial space industry chain, including the commercial satellites, the services, and the launching vehicles,
mm-hmm.
all these companies are emerging in the recent years, and the whole chain is emerging
mm-hmm.
as a brand new economic area. The competitiveness of Chinese companies will be in the top of the whole global industry in the future.
Certainly, I believe it holds great potential. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Mm.
And that was Mr. Huo Liang, CEO of Deep Blue Aerospace for us.
Whether it's about your education, the home you live in, or the items you buy, your money has a story to tell. Because every business story is a human story. Global Business.
The U.S. Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee convened on Tuesday to continue deliberations on the timing of potential interest rate cuts. The committee is scheduled to announce its decision on Wednesday, along with updated summary of economic projections. Following the announcement, Fed Chair Jerome Powell will hold a press conference offering additional insights into the Fed's perspective. Having previously raised interest rates to a 23-year high, ranging between 5.25 and 5.5%, the market sentiment suggests that the Fed is unlikely to alter its interest rate this week. The sentiment is reinforced by the February consumer prices, which rose to 3.2% annually, significantly surpassing the Fed's 2% target. Furthermore, economists are estimating 3 rate cuts throughout the year. Around 16,000 people are in San Jose, California for an event that some industry analysts are calling the Woodstock of AI. The conference is called GTC and is being held by the rising star of the tech world, NVIDIA. Mark New has the details.
Perfect name. Blackwell. Silicon Valley-based NVIDIA has become one of the most valuable companies in the world, in large part because of the skyrocketing demand for artificial intelligence.
So NVIDIA is at the heart of the AI revolution because of one thing, the GPU. And that GPU is a graphical process unit. That chip is really what powers all these AI transactions. But it was generative AI that put NVIDIA back on the map. Their stock is on a tear. And it's up almost up 270% over the last 12 months.
At its annual GTC conference, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang unveiled Blackwell, its latest GPU chip. Huang held Blackwell side by side with its previous generation GPU called Hopper for comparison. NVIDIA claims Blackwell has four times more AI training performance capability.
208 billion transistors. And so you could see, I can see, there's a small line between two dies. This is the first time two dies have abutted like this together in such a way that the two dies think it's one chip. There's 10 terabytes of data between it, 10 terabytes per second. It's just one giant chip. And so when we were told that Blackwell's ambitions were beyond the limits of physics, the engineer said, so what?
It's not your normal chip. Normally you put a chip in and you add another chip. They actually have the technology to allow you to pull together all the chips to act like one chip. So imagine a bunch of Lego building blocks coming together to form one big chip so you can supersize any chip that you have.
NVIDIA also showed how its AI tools are being used to power digital twins, like virtual representations of a real-world factory floor. This digital twin warehouse, complete with digital workers and autonomous robots, tests how to solve a system's problems before they happen in the real world. NVIDIA also revealed that its chips will be used to power autonomous driving systems, including for the world's largest EV maker, Chinese company BYD.
Huang says NVIDIA has also created Earth 2, a digital twin of the Earth that's using AI to help predict weather. It's also using its high-tech tools for drug discovery, hoping to speed up the development of successful medicine.
NVIDIA is also using its AI tools to make strides in the world of robotics.
We are starting to do some really great work in the next generation of robotics. The next generation of robotics will likely be a humanoid robotics. We now have the necessary technology to imagine generalized human robotics.
Huang brought on stage a variety of special guests, all humanoid robots that NVIDIA is helping to make more useful, more intelligent, and more human-like. Mark New, CGTN, San Jose, California.
And that will do for this edition of Global Business. I'm Guan Xing in Beijing. Thank you for being with us.